You probably heard of the gender reveal announcement that took place in September. It sparked a wildfire in Southern California. The couple set off a colored smoke bomb, but as it ignited, so did the dry grasses at the El Dorado Ranch Park. The fire expanded to 22,000 acres. 22,000 acres were burned. 10 structures were destroyed and damage was done to 6 others. We can say the gender of this baby was certainly overshadowed by the destruction that came with the announcement. Now, the announcement that we want to study this morning is so much more amazing than any other birth or gender reveal announcement. And why? Because it comes not from the parents, but from an angel. And the proclamation, yes, the baby will be a son, but frankly, that's only the beginning of what was revealed, what was about to be revealed, and that is the angel Gabriel proceeds to give Mary, the mother, great details of her son's character and nature. I know when I was born, no angel, no doctor, no one, said, well, this is what Bobby Lane or Robert Lane is going to be. I mean, they knew I was a boy, but that's about all, and they knew who I belonged to, my parents. But there were no details of what my character, what my nature would be like. Now, keep in mind, this angel's announcement would not bring destruction, but wonder and blessing to all who hear and received its truth. And so what I want us to do is turn to Luke chapter 1. We read the verses that we'll look at earlier, but I want us to look at the angel's announcement of the person and work of the Christ child, who was born some 2,000 years ago in a little town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread. I think it's significant that the bread of life, the Lord Jesus, was born in the house of bread. To begin with, let me read again verses 31 through 33. And behold, thou, this is the angel Gabriel speaking now to Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Prior to our Lord's birth, the angel Gabriel gave Mary 4 declarations, 4 declarative statements, which describe this great one as Savior, as God, and as King. So let's look first at declaration number 1, which is Jesus is Savior. What did Gabriel declare to Mary regarding her son that she would soon birth? That Jesus, the name of this baby, is Savior. Notice verse 31, Gabriel again speaking to Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now the Greek name Jesus comes from the Hebrew title Yeshua, and Yeshua means Yahweh saves. And throughout the Old Testament, we see the reality that Yeshua truly is a saving God. And let me cite several examples. 2 Samuel 7, verse 23 speaks of God redeeming, saving his people. Job said in Job 19, verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer, my Savior, lives. Isaiah 41, verses 21 through 23 refers to God as Redeemer, who has blotted out as a thick cloud our transgressions and as a cloud our sins. Further in the book of Isaiah, we find Yeshua speaking, there is no God beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. The prophet Hosea describes the Lord as the one upon whom we can call to take away all iniquity. Isn't that what a Savior does? He takes away our sin. I want you to listen as I read from Joel 2, verses 12 and 13. And as I read these verses, keep in mind, this is what salvation is. This is what the Savior does. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And then one more verse on this name Yeshua and how the Old Testament reveals him as Savior, as a Savior God. Jonah 2:9 says, but I will sacrifice, this is Jonah speaking from the belly of the great fish, unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. But again, this Savior God of the Old Testament, this Yeshua is Jesus, the Savior of the new, the one to be born to Mary. For this Christ child named Jesus came to be the Jehovah who saves, which we clearly see in Luke's description of the incarnation, which we find declared in chapter 2, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Other verses in Luke that confirm this saving power of Jesus, Luke 2, 30 and 31, Simon recorded a saying, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. God, I have seen your salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And again, who is God's salvation that Simeon saw? Jesus. When he took Jesus up in his arms, he recognized that this baby is the Savior of the world. And then Luke 2:38 tells of Anna, the prophetess, who spoke of Jesus to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And finally, Luke chapter 19, verse 10 references the mission of Christ in the statement, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. This tells us mankind desperately needs a Savior because we are sinful and therefore we are lost. And Jesus is that Savior for sinners. In fact, he is the only Savior who can save us from our sins. Being dead in our sins, he and only he can make us alive. And so we sing, give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation, full and free. Highest hills, deepest caves. This our song of victory. Say it with me. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Friends, Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Savior. And we need a Savior. This world, the hearts of mankind desperately cry out for a Savior. And friends, Jesus is that Savior. But not only do we see in Gabriel's message to Mary Jesus' saving work, we see his great life. So declaration number two is Jesus is great. The first declaration is Jesus is Savior. The second declaration that Gabriel made to Mary, Jesus is great, which we see in verse 32. I mean, it actually says, and he shall be great. We use the adjective great quite frequently to describe many things. We say that was a great games. That was a great burger. That was a great trip. But when used of Jesus, he shall be great, it's obviously a great understatement. Honestly, if we added to great splendid, magnificent, noble, distinguished, powerful, extraordinary, awesome, omniscient, these and any additional superlatives would be equally inadequate to describe Jesus. One author writes, it begs human language to do justice to the majestic, glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like John the Baptist, whose greatness was qualified as being in God's sight, our Lord's greatness is unqualified, which tells us he is great in and of himself. You know, you and I might be able to do something that people call great, but we are not great in and of ourselves. But Jesus' greatness is intrinsic to his very sinless and righteous nature as God and is not derived from any source outside of himself. He personifies greatness. And Ephesians really does, especially the first chapter here, really does capsule the greatness of our Lord. Paul writes, which he wrought in Christ. This is what the Heavenly Father wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now let's understand this inherent greatness of Jesus is seen in his sharing of God's glory, of which God himself declared, I will not give my glory to another. Referring to Isaiah's vision of God's majesty and glory spoken of in Isaiah chapter 6, John wrote in his gospel chapter 12 verse 41, these things Isaiah said when he saw his, Christ's glory and spoke of him. And so again, when Gabriel told Mary that Jesus would be great, he meant that Jesus would manifest the very glory of God, that those around him would see the attributes of God displayed through his perfectly righteous life, a life that talked like God, that acted like God, that thought like God, that performed miracles like God, that taught like God, and whose love and wisdom and kindness were totally and completely God-like. And so no wonder John had to say, and the Word and God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his what? What's the next word? His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Once again, Gabriel said to Mary, the righteous life of this coming Christ child, and he shall be great. Jesus is Savior. What did Gabriel say next to Mary? Jesus is great. And now which this transitions us to Gabriel's third descriptive declaration, and that is seen in verse 32, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. So declaration number three is Jesus is God. Jesus is Savior, Jesus is great, and Jesus is God. This name is saying Jesus possesses the very nature of God. Let me try to explain that. The Greek word for highest has its Hebrew equivalent in the Old Testament title for God, El Elyon, which means God Most High, which obviously was familiar to Mary and refers to God's sovereignty in the fact that no one is higher, more exalted, or more powerful than he is. And so to identify Jesus as the Son of the Highest is to declare that he has the same essence as the Most High God, which means that he is deity, that he is God, Son of the Highest. He is Son of God. And any time in the scripture where you have Son of, that means the Son is equivalent to his Father. Now Hebrews 1:3 says of the Son of the Highest that he shall be the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person. And I'm sure you recall what Jesus told his disciples, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He also said, as he spoke to the Jewish leaders, his opponents, I and my Father are one. And Gabriel's announcement, "and shall be called the Son of the Highest," was subsequently confirmed and wonderfully displayed in Jesus' birth, in his extraordinary life, in his sacrificial death, in his miraculous resurrection, and in the future. Jesus' deity will be seen in his kingly position. Jesus is God. Which brings us now to the fourth description of Christ Gabriel gave to Mary. And here's declaration number four. The rest of verse 32 says this: "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end," which tells us Jesus is king. Friends, this one that Gabriel said, "Mary, you will soon give birth to," is Savior, is great, is God, and is King. No other baby was so described. And I say, what a revelation, what a declaration. As Gabriel said to Mary, Jesus is the rightful heir to the throne of his father David through his legal father Joseph. And therefore he will sit on David's throne when he reigns in the millennium over the house of Jacob, over the house of Israel. I want to read from Revelation 20 regarding that, beginning with verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him," reign with Christ, "for 1,000 years. And this rule will then include the rest of mankind as it stretches into eternity, since his kingdom will have no end." Revelation 11:15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Now please understand, this promised kingdom is not limited to Christ's present spiritual reign, as the amillennialists would advocate. Remember, the Bible teaches us that Satan will be bound during the millennium. And yet, now as Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5:8, "The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour," which means this present age cannot be the millennium. Nor does the church usher in the millennium, at the end during which time the post-millennials say then Jesus will return. Friends, Jesus himself asked the rhetorical question of Luke 18:8, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" We all know the Lord Jesus did not establish his kingdom at his first coming. As John wrote in the prologue of his gospel, "He came unto his own, but his own received him not." Rather than crown Jesus, they crucified Jesus. Now, presently, Jesus rules spiritually in the heart of every believer, Colossians 1:13, and that spiritual rule will last forever. But again, that does not preclude our Lord's future literal millennial kingdom, during which time the root and offspring of David, Revelation 22:16, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will sit on his throne, judging nations in perfect justice for 1,000 years, and do so with a rod of iron. Then at the end of that time, God will uncreate the universe and create a new heaven and a new earth that will last forever. I want you to listen to Paul's summation of this in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 24. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so I echo, as we come to a close, the magnificent words of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus, which perfectly captures Christ's coming kingship, and he shall reign forever and ever. Friends, Jesus is King. Jesus is King. And again, what an angelic message. What an announcement to Mary. What a wonderful announcement to all of us. Not only did Gabriel tell Mary that in her virginity she would miraculously bear a son, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. But then he described the son that she would birth. First he declared his name. He says his name will be Jesus. And I say he is Savior, so receive him. Friends, if you are going to have a Savior to rescue you, you have to receive Jesus, because he's the only Savior in this world. Second, he will be great. He is holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners. And so I say, follow him. Follow this great one. Third, he will be the Son of the Highest. He is God. And I say, worship him. Worship him. And fourth, he will be King, and he will rule and reign forever. And I say, reverence him. Receive him. Follow him. Worship him and reverence him. Oh, might we receive this great one as our God and our Savior, as our King. For there is salvation in no one else. He truly is Emmanuel, God with us. And honestly, how badly we need God with us. Talking to family, talking to friends, hearing what's going on in our world, how badly we need God to be with us. Our country is at a tipping point. Lawlessness is so prevalent. We need a Savior. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And so please receive him. Please follow him. Please worship him. Please reverence him. Christmas will be very special for those who receive Jesus, who follow Jesus, who worship Jesus, and who reverence Jesus.